Let me start off by saying that our theme is headed for home, but not for hell. Headed for home, but I'm not headed for no hell. And my sermon title is Go to Hell, But I Ain't Going With You. So you're going to hear the word hell mentioned in this sermon throughout enough to let you know that hell exists, because we live in a day and age where folk don't believe that hell is existent. We live in a day and age where people have been sugarcoating the reality that God is going to give the payback one day. We have people that go to church that think that it's all about your business getting well, prosperity flowing, your time coming, everything is yours, name it and claim it, and these individuals are candidates for a burning hell. Nobody is talking about hell these days. Nobody wants to talk about hell these days. It has been said that we are living in, I like the way myself and my radio associate put it, Christianity light. It's like light beer, you know. We don't we want Christianity light. We don't want the hard things of the gospel. We don't want to listen to God speaking to our hearts saying that no. You think that I'm coming to give you a life of prosperity when I'm coming to bring you a sneak preview of what's coming. You know, and this theme was running through my head as I was putting this message together. Want to talk to the preachers, the pastors out there. You people better know that put on one of these collars or put on a robe or run around in your shark skin suits and your alligator shoes, that hell is forever. And you need to tell people that don't think they're going to hell that because of their hellish lifestyles, they have that to look forward to instead of prosperity cometh. There is no prosperity cometh. Let me jump on Creflo. First off, Creflo, you got your money, right? Eddie Long, you got your churches, right? T.D. Jakes, you got your books, right? Tony Evans, you got your big ministry, right? Headed for hell, boys, if you don't repent from that mess. Wait a minute. There's another group I just found out this morning trying to bind me in the name of Jesus. You're not binding me. You go to hell. I'm not going, because I'm going to preach about it and let you know that there's the fire of hell for anyone that denies God. Oh, my friends, I'm telling you, I've had a wonderful week in spite of the hell that I've experienced. It has been said that we are living in this Christianity light. And that kind of philosophy bespeaks a soft peddling of the gospel. And by doing away with this, we do away with the idea that hell is a viable alternative. It is a viable alternative. As you have an up, you got a what? As you got it this way, you got a what? As you got a white, you got a what? As you got a heaven, you got a what? And you got to know that. And see, in the Christian church don't believe that. They don't want that alternative. They've kind of like have that in several shades of gray. Well, I can do anything I want to do. I can say anything I want to say. I can be anything I want to be. And God ain't going to do nothing to me, because all I got to do before I die is pray to him, and he going to wipe the slate clean, because ha-chala, u-chala, bang-bang, in the name of Jesus and the victory sign, I'm going to heaven. You're on your way to hell, you hell-bound heathen. But I ain't going with you. We must never conclude another form of defective Christianity in that our culture is now in the mode of seeking what I call a softer interpretation of almost every aspect of life. Ah, you know, my friends, I read about it all the time. They say that marriage is on the rocks and homosexuality is on the rise. I don't care. You've had gayness ever since man was created. You've had that. You're going to always have that. I'm not going to waste my time or waste my focus looking at gay rights and gay wrongs. I'm going to look at what God says about heaven and what God says about hell and figure out where I place myself in the midst of this madness. Nobody wants to talk about this. I dare you to go on your job and talk about hell. I dare you to go to junior high and talk about hell or heaven. They won't even allow it. As a matter of fact, they'll castigate you, set you aside. I dare you to go to your favorite coffee shop like me and Alphonse do. Love you, Alphonse, and get to talking about heaven and hell. People will walk by you and look at you like you crazy. You know they're looking at you because God wants you to speak about it. We've become mute to this particular subject matter. Many will seek to tell us that our faith ought to be the kind that draws the other through some kind of sweet, intentional, non-confrontative message. Oh, John, whatever you do, don't get beyond yourself. Don't fall out of the mold of trying to relax people's minds. You want people to feel good about their faith. You want them to feel good about Jesus. Jesus is a good time, Charlie. He gives me goosebumps. He gives me all the things that I want. No, my friends, I'm not that kind of messenger. You can go to hell, but I'm not going with you, my friends. The kind that bespeak smiling faces and fun and fantasy games and trinket sanctification. You know what trinket sanctification is? You're growing in your trinket Christian mentality. You like TBN every month, every week. They got a new gadget that they're trying to give you for a dollar. The pimpton pimptize you, and you, wait a minute, let me talk to the ones out there that view me over this thing electronically. I mean, dead and in my coffin, in my grave, I bet you still going to be trinketing it, aren't you? Listening to the pimps trinketing you, and this preacher is telling you, go to hell, but he's not going with you. And that's the message that the church ought to give this failing world. But we're afraid to talk like that because the subject matter is just so disastrous. We don't want to do that. But nothing is further from the truth for the real saint of God. The real saint of God knows that hell is not an alternative for us. The real saint of God knows that it's going to take something to get to heaven. The real saint of God knows that there's only one alternative for us, and it's to be with Jesus. And if we don't make that, then we of all men are most miserable. For we are not a collective group of individuals that are looking for easy street religion, because that's what Jakes and the rest of them give you. Easy street. That's what these bishops do. They pile you in their mega hell holes and give you some kind of a fantasy land exchange for the reality of the lived life. Rather, we live a direct confrontation from God and His precious word, and we love that kind of direct confrontation. If you're a Christian and you don't want to be confronted with what God says, then I'm telling you, go to hell, but I ain't going with you. Ours is a faith that grasps not only the divine portions of the inspired text, and we know that those divine portions of the Bible are never changing. They're immutable. God would not talk about hell today and not talk about it tomorrow. That's why my preaching, when you listen to it from the early days, sounds just like it sounds today. Because a real preacher's preaching never stops preaching the truth. Oh, and let me give you something else. The real pimping never stops pimping the truth. That's how you can know a true preacher from a pimp. Because a pimp's message is a pimp's message from day one to the end. And that pimp is going to get his money, and the preacher going to preach you into hell. That's why this preacher says, go to hell, but I'm not going with you. Oh, yeah, my friends, I'm telling you, I'm fired up because you know what? Hell is filling up. Hell is filling up with church folk. Full of it. Don't try to stop Pastor John. When you try to stop him, the boy's going to get bolder. Why? The Holy Spirit, oh, Jesus, moving in me, I cannot help it. If I die preaching this word, you know that my soul went to heaven. Let the pimp preach, and the pimp's going to take you to hell with him. Pimping these women's like they hoes on the avenue. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it in my life. The phone calls I got this week, these women calling me, oh, you're not tape recording me, are you? Please tell me you're not tape recording me. I said, what did he do to you? How much did you give him? How much was the check that you wrote? Oh, and I'm trying to get it back, but he won't give it back. No, you've been pimped. You've been hustled, ho. That's what I called him. That's all you are, a spiritual whore. What have you done for Jesus? Nothing. Ah, but see, they talking about, oh, we going to get you, Pastor John. We going to get, come by and get me. One of them told me they were going to come to worship today. We got some strong men here. Come on to the worship. Because see, we're not weak over here. We put you out. Because see, you going to hell, but we're not going with you. You only want the truth of God's words. Oh, my friends, listen. Allow me to take you back a number of years to see that our Savior is giving a vivid, living example of not Christianity light, but Christianity heavy. Because you see, when you look at this text, Al, this is Christianity heavy. And see, a lot of times what we're doing is we're walking around here with this Christianity light mentality. No. There's a Christianity heavy in this text as opposed to the light that most pastors offer their congregation today. I'd like to read the text if I can. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 26. And as you read this with me, you know PJ is going to put in some kind of like emotional frivolity here, and so that you can tap into what's happening. Sometimes we read the Bible and we seem to think that it's a storybook, Jay. You know, well, you know, it ain't really real. So I'm going to add some life to it so you can understand what's going on. Now, there was a certain rich man. We'll get into what he was. There was a certain rich man, and he habitually, that means all the time, every day, he dressed up nice, habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in the splendor every day. It don't mean he was gay. He could have been, but he was gaily living. In other words, he says, look at me. Look what I got. Don't get it twisted. Got my six pack. Gaily. You know who I am? You've seen him, haven't you? You seen people like that? Well, see, well, that's what he was. See, because I looked at this in the Greek. I looked at this and I said, what does this mean? In other words, he braggadociously, oh, wait a minute. He was the kind of cat that your sons and daughters look at on American Idol. See, he had it all. And that's what your children want to be. Who's the new American Idol? That's idolatrous. Wait a minute. Let's follow this guy. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores. We see the contrast. And longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's dinner table, my transliteration, besides even the dogs in the street were coming to lick the poor man's pussy wounds. The pus was coming from the sores all over his body. So we got this contrast. Someone living gaily, and someone living on the daily on crumbs. Now it came to pass that the poor man died, and it's obvious that he should die first. He was suffering the most. And he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man was also died and was buried. Now you notice the rich man wasn't carried nowhere. He just died like the poor man, and he was buried. And in Hades, and this is where we're going to get a lot of our sermon from, follow along with me, in Hades, in other words, in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. So don't let nobody fool you and tell you hell ain't no place of hurt. In torment, and he saw Abraham far away. That's indicative, because God ain't nowhere near no hell. And see, a lot of pimps, let me pause right now, a lot of you pimps that's watching me, and a lot of you pimpettes, all of that, you're going to be in one of these two extremes. You're going to be in heaven with Abraham, symbolically, are you going to be in hell in torment with this pimp? Simple as that. And he says, and he cried out. Look at verse 24. He cried out. So this shows me that in hell, you ain't going to be laughing, partying with your partners. You're going to be crying. He cried out and said, oh, now he's your father, huh? You didn't call him your father when you was down here. You didn't call him Father God when you was, you know, running the streets and doing all that mess. Now you're crying out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Oh, Jesus, give me some lightweight here. And send Lazarus. Wait a minute, the crumb snatcher? The one that you bypass? Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water to cool off my tongue. The implication of this is that it's hot in hell. For I am in agony in this flame. Oh, he puts emphasis upon the flame burning. In other words, the oven is lit, and I've been lit, and I'm hot, and it's burning. These are the words of Jesus.